Welcome back to Growing His Word. God bless you guys, man. Listen, last week was radical, man, because, you know, Peter, he was bouncing back and forth like a basketball. You know, he's always, oh, I love you, Jesus. You know, he's off cold, hot cold, warm cold, you know, and that's how it is, man. When you're trying to follow Christ, you become a, you know, the enemy tries to creep up on you and rob your joy. Listen, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for this time. We ask now that you lead Jesus and teach this sermon, Lord, and get me out of the way and let me decrease while you increase, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, a lot of these, a lot of believers, it's normal to feel like you're not right with God. I mean, I get a lot of emails. Oh, you know, Pastor Yost, I don't feel like I'm doing good enough for the Lord, or I'm not good enough for God, and this and that. That's Satan trying to condemn you, man. He's trying to rob your joy, like it says in 1 John. Don't let the devil rob your joy. Believers, listen to me. Satan hates us. God loves us. And I'm going to tell you something. Last week, Jesus was in the garden. You know, he was praying, and we're going to get into that too. He was praying to the Father, asking the cup to be passed. He was asking that he, you know, let someone else do it, but he didn't. He was obedient even to the point of death. He took on our sins, man, and he died for us, bro. The weight of the world was on his shoulders, and he said, you know what? I'll do it. Even though he asked the cup to be passed, he didn't say, I don't want to do it, God. He went willingly, and he did it joyfully. And you know what? He was beaten. He was bruised, but not a bone was broken. And he suffered so much for us so that we could be in paradise forever. Believers, I know what you're thinking. Sometimes the enemy tries to lie to you and try to get you caught off. But we're going to study verse by verse today. And we're going to talk about some radical stuff. It's called the trial, the court. Jesus Christ is going to court now. He's going to Judaism court. Caiaphas, the high priest, is going to try to, you know, he's going to judge him out. We're going to talk about the Sanhedrin. Listen, the Sanhedrin, it's got 70 members. They're sitting there with their big beards. They're stroking them. They're mostly Sadducees. And they're the Jewish leaders. They're looking for any false evidence against Jesus Christ so they can have him put to death. But they can't find any. So eventually, Caiaphas demands of Jesus, and he says, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus answered and says, so you say, but I tell you, I tell all of you, from this time on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right side of the Almighty and coming on the clouds of heaven. And Caiaphas declared, this is blasphemy. And so he was guilty. We're going to talk about this later, but today we're going to talk about the radical message of Jesus Christ and how he faces the Sanhedrin. Last week, we were in verse 56, and we're going to recap from 55, and it says, in that hour, in Matthew 26, verse 55, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with a sword and clubs to take me? Now he knows they're going to take him. I mean, he's just sitting there. Can you imagine that? He's just telling them. He's just saying that. Watch. Real calm. Can you imagine? He's just sitting there. Watch. And he says, Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. Now he's thinking, so now you want to seize me all of a sudden? But he knows destiny's coming. And like I said, it says here in verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, they forsook him and they fled. They left. They knew the trial was coming. Peter denies Jesus. You know, he's always, well, not always, but he's done it three times. We're going to see it. But verse 57 says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, and where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But verse 58 says, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. He's scared, you see? And he went in and he sat in the servants. Listen to this. And he went in and sat with the servant to see the end, okay, with the servants. Okay, so Peter's there, right? Okay, he's hiding, he's looking, this is going to get very interesting, believers. He's going to court now. Believers, you ever been in a situation in life where you got to see a judge? And now, Jesus Christ is perfect, and it's crazy. Peter's in the back. He's like looking away to see what's going on. He could totally see God, man. He knows. He knows what's up. But he's watching the whole thing play out. He sees the whole thing. Peter sees it all, man, and he's scared. Peter's scared, and often we get scared, believers. But the devil tries to cause fear because fear is a liar, you see. But Jesus Christ's love casts out all perfect. His love casts out all fear. And then you have this moment right now that's very historical, believers. I want you to know something. A lot of pastors, a lot of teachers, they forget about this, okay? Because a lot of pastors forget about the high ruling here and what happens here. And I'm going to bring it to light. People in life, they don't want to hear the truth. So what they do is they shut the door on you. You try to tell somebody they're an alcoholic and they shut the door on you. You try to tell someone they're a drug addict and they say, I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. People are in denial. Now there's two types of denial here. There's the denial. Actually, there's three. There's the denial of Jesus Christ being the Lord and your Messiah. And then there's the denial that I don't want nothing to do with you. Your problems, get away from me. You don't need to come to this place because we don't have nothing here for you. Then there's the denial of ourself. We deny, we heap up our lies in our own selves and we deny the very presence of our own problem. And a lot of people today in the church and outside the church have problems. The school districts have problems. The government has problems. We all have problems. But the problem here is Peter doesn't know what to really do right now, but he's sitting there. And he's sitting there and he's watching God play out the whole future of mankind's redemption for our sins. It's amazing. This is probably the most amazing chapter that you'll ever come across. One of them. And as we see the denial, we see in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ, believers who want to be glorified. And it wastes so much time for God because they want to be seen or whatever it may be. But here we're talking about a whole different level of life. You guys, are you ready? Because this is where it takes off. Nobody wants the good doer. Nobody can stand the do-gooder because they want the fruit of the tree now. They want the candy now, but they don't want the rotten teeth after. What's that mean? What's that even mean? Well, here's what it means. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we kill, we rob, we have sex without marriage, we drink, we do all the sins of the world, and then we live a fake life for Christ. Then we die, and God sends us to hell because we never really were born again. We were never really following Christ. We were never really seeing how Jesus wants us to live our lives. We sat there and we pretended to be believers for a short period of time, and we never allowed the Holy Spirit in our life to flow. You're thinking, how did you get all that from this right here? I'm going to show you. Watch. It's simple. We got to quit denying Jesus Christ. We have to quit being Peter's. We have to say, look, I don't want to be Peter anymore. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to do it no more. I can't do it no more. And how do we do that? Well, let me tell you this, how it works. The chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. It happens this way in our relationship with Christ. People put false testimony against us because they're jealous. You just got to keep going. It's a spirit of narcissists, okay? The devil uses people, and they don't even know they're narcissists, okay? So we got to be careful. Verse 60 says, But here it says they tried to put Jesus to death, but they found none. Okay? Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Remember that. They still don't know what's going on. The 3 days, the Easter, man. We talked about that in John. I preached the whole chapter. Verse 62 says, and the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, here it goes, Jehovah's Witnesses. You guys got your ears on, and you Mormons that ride around the neighborhood in your bicycles, or are you guys using electrical cars now? I don't know what you use, but listen to this. You ready? Here you go. It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Ooh. Then the high priest tore his clothes. Wham! And that's blasphemy in Hebrew, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? Here we go. Here comes the roller coaster. You guys got Peter's there. Now Peter, he's a devoted, supposedly Jew. He's living two lives. He's a follower of Christ, a Messianic, and then he's a Hebrew Jew. And he's trying to do both because now he don't know. Now Jesus is just claimed to be God right there. Peter's off to the side listening, going, oh man, oh my God, yeah, there's your God. There's our God. Now he's like, oh man, I really believe this. Listen to this. I really believe that that Peter was sitting there and he was listening to this from the distance, and he's thinking, if this dude isn't really God, I'm dead. And I believe Satan put that in his mind. How do you know he's really God? Listen, how do you know that he really loves you, Peter? Remember what he told Peter? He told Peter, Peter, do you love me? Remember that. Three times. More than that. Do you love me? He said, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. Then he said, feed my sheep. He's telling Peter how much he loves him, but Satan's telling him how much he is not the Messiah, like he tells the people on bicycles. We have to understand the words of God are so serious here. We're in the Sanhedrin. We're in the courthouse. It's being recorded and written down. That's how we got them, you know. It was, you know, in the Qumran caves. Evidence? You need any more? I mean, how about Hebrews chapter 11, the honor of faith? And so Peter is sitting there, and Jesus is there. And you got to love it. Listen to this. Listen to this, man. And he's saying, he's deserving of death, the guy says. This is blasphemy. Then in verse 67, they spit in his face and they beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. Have you ever got hit with your palms of your hands? They're the most hardest part of your body. Yeah, it hurts. I really believe they thought Jesus Christ was nuts. I really believe the Jewish leaders thought that Yeshua HaMashiach was Jesus Christ was nuts. Imagine 70 members. And this trial, it couldn't take place at night during the time of the important festival. And so the death penalty couldn't be passed immediately. If a person was found guilty, the Sanhedrin had to wait overnight to pass the sentence. Watch this, man. So all the trials that had to take place in the hall, the Hoonstones, the official place of the trials, and they were located at the temple. And so you had the two or three witnesses, right? And they were needed. They had to be there, and they had to agree on every detail. And given false evidence, would probably receive the same punishment as the person on trial. So they had to be there. Everyone's there. Everyone's there. Think about this. Peter's there. And Peter really loves Jesus. He knows who he is. But Satan is lying to him. Satan is telling him, you suck, dude. You're never going to be able to follow God. He's not your God. He's a false liar. Satan is telling Peter this. Caiaphas, he's telling him in his head. He's planting these wicked thoughts. And he's doing it to, he did it to Jesus. When he tried to get Jesus to turn the rocks into the bread. And you know, the rocks into bread. Listen. Satan is a filthy liar. And he works with anyone that's not obedient with God. And so it starts in the mind. It starts in the heart. It ends with physical outwards outbursts. And we see how Satan is. He's a liar. Because Jesus Christ is saying, look, I went to court for you. I got spit on for you. I got beat for you. I was murdered for you. And I love you. And I came back to Galilee like we talked about last week. I came back in human flesh and I ate fish. I ate real fish. And I sat after they killed me. I am the Father, I am the Son, and I am the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. And he says, you are good enough. My blood was good enough, and so therefore you are good enough. Jesus says right now, Jesus says to you right now, wherever you are right now, I don't care if you're on an airplane, you're on there in the bathroom, wherever you are, listen to these words. Jesus says you are good enough. Stop letting Satan condemn you. If you're not a born again, have you never received Jesus, then you're not good enough. You need to receive him now. Because the Bible says without Jesus Christ, there's no life. He said it, not me. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your Twinkies and then have your, fresh, beautiful teeth without brushing them. I mean, it just doesn't work. So he hits them, strikes them with the palm of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ who is the one who struck you. Wow. Wow. Here's where it happens. And here is where it happens. Believers, don't be caught in the snare of the devil saying that you cannot be forgiven. He forgives you. He loves you. But I don't know how to. You don't know how to what? Walk? Read. Read the word of God. Wash your body in the word of God. Take a shower in Christ's love. Walk. Get off the cell phones. Get off the TV. Get off whatever you love the most. Get off of it for 20 minutes and spend it in the Word of God. And watch God work in you. I guarantee you'll be emailing me saying, well, Pastor Yost, my life is so much better. Sacrifice, dude, sacrifice. Look. Without the word of God, we're blind. It's like a blind man. He can't find his glasses at night. This is exactly what it is. Believers, watch. Verse 69, here it comes. Here's where the devil attacks Peter. Here's where it comes quick. He's starting to spread his lie. Now, Peter sat outside the courtyard, right? And a servant girl came to him saying, here comes the servant. Look it. Here comes the accuser. Look. He'll use anyone. Look it. Now, Peter sat outside the courtyard. He's sitting there. And a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. Verse 70 says, but he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. There it is. Jesus already knew, but he denied it before them, saying it. And 71 says, verse 71 says, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him. Why are they girls? Because women are awesome, but Satan loves to use the woman. And he loves to use the man. But they happen to be women. Maybe Peter, the devil knew Peter had a weakness for women. We don't know. Satan is a liar, and it's always with a girl with men. He saw him, and here it goes. And he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, Who there? Who were there? And here she goes, she's gonna do it right now. Verse 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus Nazareth." Wow, here we go again. But again, verse 72, he denied with an oath this time. With an oath, "I do not know this man. Look, I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by him came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." See, here comes the fear. Satan's putting fear in him. You're going to die if you say anything. You're going to go die and carry the cross with him. See, Satan's lying to him. You don't need to follow Christ anymore. Don't worry. It's better to be... Don't worry about it, Peter. Just deny him and that's it. You see, that's what Satan's telling him. And then he began to curse and swear. Now he's cursing and swearing, saying, "I don't know this man." Because the heat's really on, bro. Here comes the heat. Here comes the rooster. He is hot, bro. He's mad now. He's like mad. The crowd's just riled up, man. Look at what the devil is doing. And Peter can't even see it because he doesn't even, he's too engulfed in his feelings. Believer, feelings will lead you astray. That's why Jesus said pray. Pray, don't let your feelings lead you astray, and then you won't deny me by spending time in my word. Obedience, prayer, and that will ultimately lead you in a prosperous relationship with Jesus Christ. Watch this. Here comes the big bam right here. Here it comes. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, and it was in his heart. Okay? Remember, he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. His genuine repentance in his grace, and the Lord later forgave Peter. Listen, believers. Peter was forgiven. Peter was forgiven because Jesus loved Peter. And Jesus will forgive you, believers. Listen to me. Believe me. He almost fell victim like Judas. Because Judas felt the remorse. But because he had not planned for this to happen, he may probably have betrayed Jesus in order to force him to take action against his enemies and inaugurate his kingdom. But see, that was not God's timing and plan. In Acts chapter 1 verse 18, it says that the death of Judas was due to a headlong fall. But the likely explanation is that Judas hung himself on a tree and only to have the rope branch break. And so the tree was over a rocky area. And so the account in Acts, you know, it can be correlated with this account. And so we could see how the devil lies and tries to manipulate us into doing things that's not what God wants. Killing ourselves is the ultimate sin. We don't want to do that. We never want to take our life into our own hands. Jesus says, don't do it. Jesus says, if you love me, you will not hurt yourself. If you love me, you'll fight the fight. If you love me, you won't give up. If you love me, you'll suffer. It's a joy to suffer. What do you mean? It's a joy to suffer. Because we learn things, believers, when we suffer. Peter learned not to deny Jesus anymore. Because he loves him. He repented. He repented. And that's all we got to do is repent. And not let the devil say, you know, you're and condemn. Therefore, there is no condemnation, believers, for those who are in Christ. We don't have to be condemned, man. Jesus died for us on the cross so that we could live in eternity. And we need to go out there and tell people, I love Jesus. He loves me. And there ain't nothing but pure love and joy for you. Jesus loves you so much, you guys. Don't ever listen to the devil when he says, hurt yourself. He's a liar. He's trying to get rid of you because you're effective. It's like I talked about earlier. There's people out there that want to destroy your joy, rob your joy. They don't know what they're doing. They're sick. They're narcissists. There's a lot of those in the churches. They want to be number one. Look at me, 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 me. Oh, look at me, look at me. Look at how pretty, isn't it? You know, and you try to tell them something, they plan whisper against you, and they're cuckoos. They're mental. It's narcissism. Don't let people deceive you. The devil uses weird people. Just brush it off. Talk to a psychiatrist, man. There's some weirdos out there. Jesus loves you. You don't got to be like Judas and Peter. And if you do, repent. And God will forgive you because he loves us. He wants the best for us. But I believe we're living in a time where believers got to get out of the church and start spreading the love of Christ. I know we're in Revelation chapter 2, man. The loveless church, the corrupt church. I see it. I see the corrupt church. I see the narcissist pastors. I see the narcissist women in there. I see the mental schizos. The world's ending. I get it. Oh, woo, it's ending. Who cares? Take up your own cross and say, I love you, God. I want to be like you. I want to set the mark differently than anybody else. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. We don't want to be like Judas, where it says in Matthew 27, where he hangs himself. We want to be like Jesus. He suffered for us. It's a joy to suffer. It's a joy to take up our own cross. Jesus is in love with us, man, and he's in love with you. Listen, believers, chapter 27 is the morning. This is where Jesus is handed over to Pontius Pilate. We're going to be done in 3 minutes. And when the morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people, they plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and they delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. Here comes, like I told you, he was remorseful. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver that he sold Jesus out for to the chief priests, elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Satan lied to him, you see. And they said, well, what is that to us? You see to it. You know, they don't want the money back. They don't care. They got who they wanted, Jesus. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and he departed and he went and hung himself. But the chief priests, they took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of the blood, you see. And they consulted together and they bought them the potter's field to buy to bury strangers. And so basically they took the money and they'd rather take that money. They don't even want the money back. So that they could basically buy a field and bury strangers in it. Because in Israel, here we have the Judaism cemeteries here, and you can't bury anyone if you're not Jewish in it. So they just said, you know what? The guy's not a Jew. This is all rotten. It's all the conspiracy, the blood money. And just buy a field with it, put strangers in it, and call it the Field of Blood to this day. And that's what it's called, Potter's Field. And so this was fulfilled, what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, who they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them from the potter's field as the Lord directed me. And this is it. And that's exactly what happened, believers. And next week we're going to talk about how Jesus is going to face Pilate. We're going to talk about how he's going to take the place of Barnabas. And how he's going to get mocked. And we're going to see Jesus die for our sins soon. And it's going to be radical, man. We're coming up to the end of Matthew, you guys. And I'm just excited. Remember, Jesus Christ is in love with you guys, man. And don't ever, ever worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own problems, believers. Thank you for growing in his word. God's good, man. I preach him verse by verse. I don't ask for a dime. Don't want your money. And yes, I do expose rotten pastors. Sorry about that. You know, it's not what I'm called to do. But if I see it, I'll throw it out there. That's why I'm not very liked by many pastors, because they teach verse by verse. God bless you guys, man. It's a whole new level. We're not about making money. We're about serving Jesus and serving you. God bless you, and thank you for growing in His Word, where we preach verse by verse.